is a Bramble Jam podcast.
Hi, I'm Brandon. Kid dropped that on a man right before the intro.
You should have known.
Hi, I'm Brandon, and I love When Calls the Heart.
Hey, it's Banda, and I like When Calls the Heart.
I'm Dan, and I'm coming around. No, it's terrible. I despise When Calls the Heart.
And this is the Deck the Home Heart podcast. Wow.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy.
Another When Calls the Heart. Man. Another Thursday here on Deck the Hallmark. Your daily splash of joy.
Yeah. Your daily splash of joy.
Yeah.
If you listened to yesterday's episode, Redemption in Cherry Springs, and you thought this is it, they jumped the shark, we're sorry, but also it is what it is, guys.
I don't know what to tell you.
It is what it is. There's nothing we can do about it.
I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. I just feel like we need some more one-star reviews for sure.
Yeah, well.
We don't get enough of them, I'll say that.
I don't know how we're still at 4.9. Every time I look, I'm like, we're still at 4.9.
Still 4.9.
It's crazy. So we get like five stars and then one star. It's like, this is awful. Why would I ever listen?
And that's fair.
I'm 400 episodes in. Still love it. 400.
That's fair.
Yeah, more than fair.
I wouldn't if I were you.
You get her, you don't. Sure. That's where I'm at right now.
There's a lot of nuance to Noodle Emporium.
It's
layered.
How do I say this? It's for the refined individual.
That's right. Guys, I just heard from the podcasting people.
Oh yeah?
About who won the hot takeoff.
The hot takeoff.
Oh, great.
The hot takeoff sounds like it's a very different program.
I'm sorry. It was the best of the hot take, whatever. Hot take.
Yeah.
You know those results. And it was between Panda
and Klaffner.
And Klaffner.
You didn't remember the
last one. No. And man, they said it came down to the wire.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yep.
Klaffner, he broke into a song at one point.
Oh no.
Oh man. When Klaffner sings, he's got pipes.
Oh, I got the clap. Yes. Yes. I think this episode is wonderful. And I'm going to tell you this. No one cannot like this episode.
Man, I don't know how the judges.
I don't know how they judge
look
that.
At that. And they don't at least
give him all the.
But we have the results, Bram, which yes. You said we had. I'm on pins and needles.
It was there's five judges.
I thought there were two that came in to yes. watch Panda.
Yes, but the rest were remote.
Okay.
And it was a 3-2 vote.
Oh boy.
In favor of our very own Panda.
Yeah. Right.
The hottest guys. Taker of them all. Woo. There he
you
is.
Did it.
My
did
goodness.
It. Speech, 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 speech.
Guys, you know, it's those little moments where I sit there and I think about all the things I've accomplished in my life. And of the many things that I've done, this is top notch. Real pleased.
That's a great
That's
speech,
a hot
buddy.
Taker, everybody. Yep. When Calls the Heart, season 4, episode 8, which is called, Dan?
Hearts in Atlantis. Hearts on Fire. Heart above all.
Heart to heart.
Total eclipse of the heart.
Healing heart.
Okay. If you say so.
It originally aired on April 2nd, 2017.
2017! Yeah! Benny! You think you forget about Benny? You never forget about Benny! My wife let me back in the house. I got the guest room. It's kind of more of a closet.
I love Benny.
She hangs her slacks up there and I sleep there.
His life is on the up and up. And
Benny's back, baby. Does it smell like mothballs? You bet.
I love Benny.
And you get a full year?
Doubling down. May buy another year. You never know. I hear there's a sale.
How do you buy years? Is there a website?
Tracy had hooked me up. She said she had to pay off some Frankie Muniz gambling debt.
She's,
I don't know what that's
I
about.
I don't.
But we need, I don't know how she's gambling. What's happening there, Trace?
What do you mean?
Frankie Muniz gambling debt.
It's in the words.
But what
Frankie
did you,
Muniz, what the Malcolm.
What did you gamble on Frankie Muniz?
No. I'm paying off his gambling debt.
Okay.
Frankie got into a bad time.
And you're paying
and
him.
I'm paying off the debt.
Boy, that's actually worse somehow than him or gambling.
I found it on celebritydebtpayoffs.net.
Wow.
You can pay off celebrities' debts.
Man.
That's true.
It's crazy.
You're on there.
I'm on there.
Yeah.
I don't have any debts on celebrity debt payoff.
Wow, okay. The slots say otherwise, yeah. Big guy.
It just said pool.
So do you think people are... That's true. That's a true story.
Just said,
now that you say it out loud.
So yes. It's celebrity...
I thought it was just gambling.
No. But this is any and all debt.
Yeah. Go for it.
Celebrity debt payoff.
You know what? If you don't even want to find the website, if you just want to go to @BrambleJamPodcast on Venmo...
Okay.
You can pay us. You can do that right now. You want to help us?
It's a nonprofit above
all of it. Everything in front.
Originally aired on April 2nd, 2017. And it went a little something like this.
Closets never felt so right.
You know what? I hope you.
Tab cola in the evening. Sink a coffee in the morning. Life's great.
You got a Keurig?
Sank a coffee. Man. Keurig, what's that?
I thought you said single cough.
Keurig for what ails ya?
That's good.
Elizabeth, it's just Sanka. It's like ground fake coffee, but it does the trick.
Elizabeth is journaling about how amazing it feels to be engaged to Jack.
It does feel amazing.
No, not anymore. But also how miserable it feels to be away from him. We find out that there's a competing cafe opening up that Ray Wyatt, I believe, is opening.
Ray Wyatt, that son of a gun.
That's exactly right. They want all the railroad workers to go there, and the prices are cheaper than Abigail's. Speaking of Ray Wyatt, that son of a gun, his nephews Earl and Chad join the school, and they're real punk pals. Find out some things, I guess, about them, but whatever. Here's the real fun storyline of the week, everybody. Lee lost his voice.
Ooh.
So Rosemary decides, I'm going to go everywhere that he goes, make the deals.
Wherever you will go.
Kind of like be the voice.
The sawmill and home.
So things are not going well with Chad and Earl. I hate to say that, but they're not. They're being real punk pals, and like Cody and Earl getting a fight. Cody, you know, you guys know Cody. Macaulay Culkin. He gets hit right there. Oh, you hate to see that, right?
Yeah,
sure do.
People are starting to realize that Carson's good looking. Right?
Yeah.
Do we have like a cricket sound we can play on the board over there? Or is that not enough?
Elizabeth and Abigail are talking, and Bill is like, hey, I'm going to go find someone named AJ Foster. Now, AJ Foster was supposedly going to testify against Gowan for one of the myriad of things that Gowan's done wrong, such as genocide. But mysteriously just disappeared. Rosemary decides she's, you know, going to do the things for Lee, and starts promoting people and doing all sorts of things. Cody is talking to Abigail, and he's like, yeah, Abigail, there's some punk pals at school, and I'm not a big fan of them. And she's like, well, you need to turn the other cheek and stop fighting. You know what? That's beautiful. Bill finds a small house in the middle of the woods. And sure enough, AJ Foster is the person in that house. And turns out AJ's a girl. You believe that stuff?
It's crazy.
Carson's going around telling people that they should come to the cafe and not that old bad place.
It's not open yet.
It's not open yet. But Gowan's like, hey, you can't do that here, sir. Yeah, you need to have a permit.
Mm.
It's the paper permit. So AJ Foster, they're up to something again.
She is.
Yeah, she.
AJ Foster.
She's talking. You're going to be coming to the Northeast tour. 4 spots, 3 days. It's a 2.
Northeast is not us, though.
No.
We're not. Okay.
We're not in.
But neither is Hope Valley. So what are you talking about?
I'm just talking on a later date.
Okay.
This is the COVID makeup tour.
I got you.
It's a 4-for-3 deal.
It's a 4-for-3. Four shows, 3 days. 2 shows in Boston on the 11th.
Okay. Great.
So AJ's talking about, you know, how there's like money and like the threats and stuff. I don't know, to be honest with you. Rosemary is then, you know, like, hey, doing more deals and stuff. Things are getting real hairy, and Lee's just over there like, does do this. Like, there's a lot of this for Lee like that in this episode.
That's so true. That's a great... Thanks, man. That's really spot on.
AJ and Bill are going to find the place where AJ buried some documents or something. But then it's a lot of cash. Sure.
I think so. No, it's the rolls. It's the rolls that prove that Gowan and the railroad are in cahoots and have not gone by it the right way.
Well, she doesn't want to do that. So she rides off. Bill grabs his gun. Shoots it.
He shoots her?
In the air. And finally she's like, okay, I guess you mean business, since you know how to shoot your gun in the air. And so then Ray is apparently wants to kill Bill. Henry's like, hey, I'm not cool with that. Murders, leave that to simple people.
Leave that to the professionals.
So then Elizabeth is talking to Abigail and finds out that they're going to send, a telegram to the punk pals, the dad, and get to the bottom of this whole thing. And then AJ and Bill are almost killed by a hitman.
Yep.
By a guy who's trying to kill him.
A hitman?
A hitman's bodyguard. Elizabeth.
The guy that's trying to kill AJ and Bill is the brother of the railroad guy. Like, we see his face. It's not just a hitman.
It's a hitman. I thought it was someone for hire.
No. He's the guy.
The brother.
The brother. Whose kids are the punk pals.
And then this is funny. Lee's voice comes back. And Rosemary just goes away.
Goes away.
Not my friends was. When calls the heart, healing heart.
Club. We did it.
Oh, we did it, everybody. God. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back here in Dr. Elmer. Welcome back, everybody. We're talking When Calls the Heart, Healing Heart, Season 4, Episode 8. Getting close to the end here.
Home stretch. Here we go.
Let's start with a hot take. I'm going to start with my good friend Panda. The reigning hot take taker. Yep. Panda, go ahead.
For an episode that doesn't have Jack in it, this episode is exactly what you would expect. It's not the worst we've seen from Hope Valley, but it doesn't make it a good experience. Yeah, I don't know. It's fine. It's just, you know what? The most painful part of this entire episode was anything involving Rosemary and Lee.
Which does take up
a massive amount of the time.
A huge chunk of time.
The comedy stylings of these two is just a sight to behold. It's bad. Guys, it's so cringy. Is painful to watch them on screen, which is a shame. It's just, it's unbelievably stupid. They keep flipping Gowan's character. It's the same thing we've said now for 4 seasons. Like, this is just, it's all embodied in this episode. Nothing really happens. Mm.
Too much Rosemary.
Too much Rosemary. Too much, too little of anything significant happening. And there's no Jack to help even that. But I guess it really, you know what I came to the realization of? It doesn't matter because Jack hasn't been doing anything.
No.
So you could go ahead and swap him out. You know what? Jack dies and it probably doesn't even impact much.
Jack dies? What? Sorry.
You know what, guys? I am quick to give Rosemary and Leah a hard time as characters that I don't enjoy.
Oh, boy.
But I actually found the bit to be pretty fun. I didn't hate the bit. I didn't hate the bit in this episode.
Here's the thing.
Come on.
Here's what I will grant you.
Grant me.
That I'm going to call it 16 minutes, which may be being kind, but it's a solid third of this episode. That 16 minutes is terrible because of Rosemary. I think Kevin Smith is a pretty decent physical comedian.
Yes.
And him doing a full Abbott and Costello bit where he can't talk, like, that could have been funny were it not for the prevailing winds of nails on a chalkboard that is Rosemary DeWitt or whatever her name is.
I don't know. It didn't bother me.
It drove me nuts.
It didn't bother me as much.
But Kevin Smith, I think what he's, and I think, I know you think I, Pascal Hunton can act. This character's terrible. Kevin Smith, what he's doing would be funny, I think, given something better to work with than just the dumbest thing. That's as far as I'll grant you.
The problem is, it's funny for the first time you see it. Mm-mm. And then after that, they keep going back to the well. It's like bad. they keep doing it.
The fact that Rosemary can continue to just, like, even when he has a voice, this is a problem. Even when he has a voice, this is what Rosemary does. She doesn't need him to not have a voice to do these things because she's done them in other episodes.
Yep. She just steamrolls
it. It renders the entire bit moot. It doesn't
make
any
sense. Oh, I'm so sorry, Lee.
Yeah.
You with all your money.
A speed bump down there.
I thought it was fine. But yes, I don't know. It was all fine to me.
These guys are being really, really kind. This has been a dog of a week. And I can't believe I'm saying this out loud because we've watched three of the worst pieces of pop culture entertainment that I've seen in any time in my life. Roadhouse Romance is the best thing I watched this week. I can't believe I said it out loud. It's the bottom six movie.
I thought you were about to say this episode.
Roadhouse
Romance is the best thing I watched all week. This is utter garbage. It is just wheel spinning at its finest. Nothing to do all day to get there. They say that Elizabeth misses Jack no less than 86 times, I think. The Rosemary Lee thing takes up the whole episode. It's bad. The Bill Avery thing is just inexcusable at this point. And then Gowan being like, murder, that's too much for me. What are we even doing right now? What are we doing in this show? It is terrible television. We had two episodes of reprieve from the awful that was just like, oh man, breathe it in, a 2 out of 10. And then we're back to nose to the grind with the straight zeros popping up. It's awful. Guys, this was really hard to watch. It was terrible.
Same can be said, though, of our last episode. Yeah,
it's true.
That's true. Yeah. You know what? We all have
if
those.
If somebody's doing a podcast on our episode, I'm sorry.
That's fair.
That's a clunker.
Deck to Deck the Hallmark.
I love that show.
Yeah. It's better than Little Deckers.
The Little Deckers is the kids. Yeah. We don't have time.
No, we don't.
You wouldn't.
For sure, we've done the bit before.
We've done it. 2019.
Christmas 2019. But I believe that was when we were hiring
kids. Yeah, I fired you two.
Yes, and you were going to hire kids.
Kids in.
Yes.
And it didn't go as well as I thought it would go, and I hired you guys back.
Yes, and we have that bit ready queued up?
No.
Let's get to all the feels. Part of the show, we're talking about what in this movie gave us feels. Pan, any feels for you?
No, not a thing.
No feels for me either.
No feel. Move along.
No feels for me.
No feels for me.
We'll be back after this break. Check the hallmark.
You know what makes our episodes better? Two breaks in 18 minutes. Yep. That's when the kids really start listening.
Well, here's the good news, everybody. We're back. It's time for the Way What. As far as show, we talk about what in this episode of television gave us the Way What's. Panda?
Here's my question. How did Cody get the bruise around his eye? Because the way I understand, okay, I
he
understand
got shocked
how
in the face,
but he doesn't. If you go look, all he does is he gets pushed down. At no point does he get punched in the face.
The guy raises his fist back, and the camera goes away.
I don't think they do that much.
I think there's a full fight there because it pans up, it pans over, then it pans up to Elizabeth, and it takes her a while to realize what's happening. So they're showing you the fight off screen.
Yeah.
That was how I understood it. But you're right. They don't show him getting a shiner.
I was at a loss. I feel like I watched the fight scene a couple times. I didn't see it. But
did you watch it or you feel like you watched it a couple times?
Who knows? The episode was eternity. I don't know. I felt like I had been watching the fight scene for years. It felt like a Rocky Balboa fight scene, like for just pure length of time.
Wait a minute.
Length of time was. Okay. Not the actual quality of it. Good heavens.
Get out of here.
We didn't even see a punchline.
Rocky V, best Rocky movie. It's not anywhere close.
Love it. Yep. Cody is going through a real hard time, and he's feeling he's really struggling with just...
this is my big one. I'm here for
it. And Aunt Becky's coming in hot with trying to make him feel better. She goes, they used to call me Dimples.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Hey, and Cody. He goes, that's not so bad. And she's got a bag full of nothing. She's like...
So, Cody, I hear you're getting the crap beat out of your school. Well, they had a nickname for me. It was a humdinger. It was these cute things on your cheeks.
They used to call me Dimples. Smile.
They called me Dimples. It's hard for me to get over. I mean, I'm still wallowing in my self-pity. So get over your problems of getting the crap beat out of you.
They called me a Gorgeous Smile.
Call me Aunt Becky. I had to bribe him to stop. Stop calling me kind names.
I just didn't know what to do.
Calling me Blue Eyes.
It's one of my favorite wait-whats of the series.
It's just...
Oh, sweetie, you're getting bullied and hit at school?
Oh, man.
Well, look, when I was in school, it was tough. They thought I looked so good, they called me Dimples.
They called me Dimples. But the best part is Cody follows up. He's like, that's not so bad. And she's got nothing. Like, she has nothing to encourage him with.
What if I smile and show you my dimples?
She's like, ah.
She just plays herself out.
The dumbest.
Man, it was real bad.
I don't know.
Classic.
They're trying to make Gowan a sweetheart. He seems like he's got the heart of gold after killing half the men or the what?
He's drawn a line in the sand on murder. Now, sand easily can be covered up. I want to be clear because at some point there was no. He's drawn it now. This is the murder he doesn't want.
For sure.
Last thing, you like Lee can still communicate. Like he's acting like he cannot speak at all.
Not literate,
but now he's just like. Yeah. Like, you can actually make a noise.
It's
you can
so bad.
Do that. It's just, it's the dumbest thing. I'm done. Yeah. That's all I got.
I loved that they finally just said what we've all been thinking about Bill. When Bill walks into to AJ's cabin, he's like, I'm the police. And she's like, well, you're not dressed like the police. You don't look like the police. And he's like, just trust me. That's basically Bill for you.
To be fair, he just became actually the police last episode.
Yeah, sure, though.
He wasn't before this.
Right. But I just love that that's like, I am. Just take my word for it. I promise I am. Yeah. I promise I am. That's all I got.
There's a very weird exchange between AJ Foster and Bill Avery. Now, you did not mention in your synopsis, AJ Foster, played by Jussie Bousset or whatever her name is.
Is that the same one? The Wedding March.
Yes. She is his Wedding March co-star, which makes this, I guess, more interesting.
Wow. I didn't even think about that.
No. But there is a back and forth, which the best I can gather insinuates that most all men in this situation would take advantage of her. In a physical way.
Gosh.
This is how this conversation goes.
It's a real Higbone situation.
He says, I'm staying at your place. And she says, how do I know I can trust you? And he says, you can trust me. And she says, so you're a man of honor? And he says, I wouldn't go that far, but I'm better than most. What?
Yeah.
So I'm honorable enough to stay in your house without taking advantage of you, which makes me better than most men in that situation. Apparently, the majority of men in the 1910s staying in a cabin with a woman would commit a crime. The majority of them, according to Bill Avery. How else are we supposed to take that conversation?
I don't think anyone put a lot of thought into writing that script, so I don't know.
But and then he goes as far as to say he's not honorable.
Right.
He's like, I'm not honorable, but I'm one step above sexual predator. So give me some credit.
I'm like definitely stealing like sugar.
Yeah.
But like,
steal some things.
I am not going to touch
leave you alone. It's wild out there. Hey, Elizabeth standing on the steps literal feet away from where this fight takes place and not noticing or stopping the fight for 5 minutes, she has to be teacher of the year, right? Like, what is she even doing? She's just 10 feet away. She doesn't hear it. She doesn't stop it. She can't see it. Like, just do your job.
Do you think that she's trying to let Cody kind of learn the ways?
No, she doesn't see it. She's looking out and then she goes, huh, what? Oh my good. Like, she literally, there's a camera shot of her looking and seeing it right below her feet somehow. And then lastly, I'm very confused about this evening meal of meatloaf at the cafe, because Paul Green is advertising it, hoping that a bunch of people show up so that the cafe makes money. But he's also promised this woman that he's going to go on a date with her and eat the meatloaf with her.
Yeah.
And Abigail is not present. So is he cooking the meatloaf, serving the tables, and on a date at the same time?
But no one else is in there.
But no one else shows up, which means all of those flyers were not successful. So he just got a private date.
I think what happened was he asked her out after the restaurant closed, and then he served her the meatloaf.
But he's trying to talk her into coming for meatloaf night. And then he's like, hey, I you shouldn't dine alone. I'll dine with you.
Yeah.
It's better we than never hear about pie, meatloaf though. Night. If that's after it closes, then what? How did meatloaf night go? I got to know.
Maybe no one showed up for meatloaf night.
It's wild out there.
It's better than shepherd's pie night, though. We can.
You know,
all
we that. Have. I think we actually have to add meatloaf to the watch now. Because this has been at least the third time in the past, like, three or four episodes, we've had meatloaf talk.
I can't do
sure.
it.
Sure. Let's do hopes and valleys. Part of the show, we talk about things that are exciting us for the future and/or bumming us out. Panda.
I guess Jack coming back with new tales to regale us about the dangerous frontier. That's exciting to think about. And, hey, when's the potluck Christmas episode? That's coming up soon, right?
Right around the corner.
Mm. I'm excited that people are starting to notice Carson and how wonderful he is. I think that's going to make for some fun times.
No hopes. Valley's back to being, nope. Sorry, I'm sorry. What's the bad guy's name?
Gowan?
It's late. I forgot Gowan's name. I called him Gowan.
Oh, my God!
I got to go to bed. It's really late. Gowan is back to being good guy again.
Pocket watch?
No.
No, he's
Shepherd's
gone.
Pie?
Hard zero.
Zero.
Shepherd's pie, none. No. It's just a strikeout across the board, which brings us to what's calling my heart. Mm-hmm,
sure does.
Hello at deck2hallmark.com. This is Kira Romans. Kira Romans. Hello, Daniel, Panda, and Bran. What's calling my heart right now is that my almost nine-month-old son, Grayson, he'll be 9 months on Sunday. That means he's already 9 months. Happy 9 month, Grayson, since you're listening, is occasionally taking a nap on my shoulder again after a couple of months of not wanting snuggle naps. Mm. Got to soak up the baby snuggles while he still lets me.
Yep.
I'm also very, very excited for pumpkin spice season to come back. Got to get that pumpkin cream cold brew.
Woo!
You guys make me laugh daily, and I often find myself shouting my pants.
Pants!
Randomly to myself because Rig is life. I'm sorry you hate watching Wind Calls the Heart because I know how bad it is, but you all going off the rails in these episodes is truly the best. Merry Christmas, Kira Roman.
Merry Christmas
Merry
to you.
Christmas.
And go to deckthehallmark.com/shop and get your My Pants shirt today.
For those of you
that is a t-shirt with a drawing of some pants that go on the front of a shirt. And on those pants, it says My Pants. It's very layered. It is something that I just get chuckles thinking that there's somebody out there that's wearing that and walking into rooms. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll be back with more. Until then, may we be the first to wish you a
Merry Christmas!
Deck the Hallmarks of Bramble Jam podcast. It's presented by Philo TV. It's produced by Brandon Gray and recorded live in, Greenville, South Carolina. Set decor is by Plum at Haywood Mall. For more information on Deck the Hallmark, you can go to deckthehallmark.com. For more information on Bramble Jam Podcast Network, you can go to bramblejampodcast.com.
You're about to hear some ads that help keep the lights on here at the studio. Feel free to listen. Feel free to turn it off, whatever you want to. But either way, thanks so much for your support.